Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Chapter 3, Karma Yoga, text number 30. Maji Sarvani Karmani. Maji Sarvani Karmani.
Maji Sarvani Karmani.
Sanyasya Dhyatma Chetasa.
Sanyasya
Dhyatma Chetasa. Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva. Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva. Yudhyasva Vigata Jvaraha. Yudhyasva Vigata Jvaraha. Maji Sarvani Karmani. Sanyasya Dhyatma Chetasa. Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva. Yudhyasva Vigata Jvara. Maji, unto me, Sarvani, all sorts of Karmani, activities, Sanyasya, giving up completely, Abhyatma, with full knowledge of the Self, Chetasa, by consciousness, Nirashi, without desire for profit. Nirmama, without ownership. Bhutva, so being. Yudhyasva, fight. Vigata Jvara, without being lethargic. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Purport. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties, as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the internal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the good will of the Supreme Lord, and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order. The Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called Adhyatma Chetas. Nirashi means that one has to act on the order of the Master, but should not expect fruitive results. The cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual person, but that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of Mayi unto me. And when one acts in such Krishna consciousness, certainly he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called Nirmama, or nothing is mine. And if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kinsmen in the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. In this way, one may become vigata-jvara, or without feverish mentality or lethargy. Everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular type of work to discharge, and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness, as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation. Om Jnanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Krishna Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathamitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamitamsya. I'll read one more time translation. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. So here, the charioteer is ordering the one who's in chariots. Krishna was the servant, but now Arjuna put him on the seat of the master. He couldn't figure out. He was so perplexed. What I should do? So Krishna finally comes to a conclusion. As he will do again, repeat the same conclusion again and again throughout the 18th chapters, that you fight. You fight. You can find it in the end, especially in the first six chapters, you know. Yudhyasva, that word is repeated again and again. But then different backing up reasons are given from different angles. And that's the point, that for one reason or another, you should go along with Krishna's plan. You shouldn't act against that. And so we are here in discussing karma yoga, and Krishna gave different reasons why one should perform karma. First of all, in the beginning of the chapter, he established that activity is not all bad, because that was Arjuna's misconception. He thought of his misconception was to separate the path of jnana and the path of karma, and then but then Krishna's, and then he was bewildered. He thought that Krishna was instructing him. That Krishna was giving him different instructions for different paths, but in fact Krishna told about one and the same thing, but just different stages of it. And the beginning stage is work. You work because you still have some fruitive desires. So, you know, you don't want to do the cold turkey. You know, like they have that expression that, you know, just one single stroke, you want to just abolish all these desires, because it's dangerous. Because Krishna mentioned the danger of that mithyachari, yeah, that might pose as a great renunciate, but then your mind will dwell on enjoyment. So then Krishna warned, he said that you perform your activity because nobody can really be free from activity 100%. Everybody does some type of karma, even for the maintaining one's body. That was the point. But the point is, and then Krishna gave explanation of the cycle of yajna. Yeah, the activity has its proper, the karma has its proper place. It has to be linked to the circle of yajna, to the satisfaction of Vishnu. And that makes everything auspicious. One who does anything not for for the satisfaction of Vishnu, he won't be happy. Then Krishna described the position of those who have nothing to, who have no duties to perform. Why? Because they have no any ambitions. They already passed over that stage. And Krishna said, still they act to instruct the people, on common people, on the right path. So Krishna says, whatever you, say, from whatever side you come, you know, you can't escape acting. Even if you are self-realized, look at the examples of great self-realized people, they still act. And then for the sake of instructing the common people. And then there is a few verses describing how, just prior to this verse, how wise person, self-realized person, he engages other people who are not as self-realized as him in different duties. And they might be, you know, from the absolute perspective, they might not be the high spiritual duties, but they are prescribed by the Vedas, and therefore they will ultimately result in purification of the selfish mentality, because everything in the Vedic system, that's the focus of all the activities, especially in the realm of karma. You know, it's to purify ourselves from that selfish mentality that, first of all, that I'm, you know, it all belongs to me. That's very gross manifestation. That's nirmama. Krishna says you should have no claims to proprietorship. Yeah. So then, different injunctions they stipulate that one has to perform charity. One has to give away, one has to be in that way renounced, and then people get purified. But here Krishna kind of sums up this point, that you just fight. I'm telling it to you, just like your military commander. You don't have to think what's gonna happen after, because I'll take care of it. You just fight. Prabhupada presents it in that light, how Krishna consciousness, he likens Krishna consciousness to a military discipline. And it is a military discipline at some stage. It doesn't have to be all the way through, because ultimately devotional service is a spontaneous function of the soul, and you can't compare it to military discipline. And if especially in the spiritual world, if the devotees they're not lined up like in the army, and but on a certain stage, when one's conditional, when one is still attached, and when one's materialistic mentality still pulls one down, one has to be in that role of a soldier, so to say, and in that way execute the orders that come to us from Krishna through the agency of the spiritual master. So you can call it Vaidhi. Performing Krishna consciousness for the sake of out of respect, out of regard for the instructions and for injunctions, even though one might not have the feeling for it or the intention to do it, still one has to act. And that has to be there, determination has to be there, and that it all rests, of course, on faith, on our faith, is that one might start considering what will be the consequence if I do something what spiritual master tells me or what is prescribed in the scripture, then what will happen? And one's mind might go into imagining different, positive and negative situations, and then one might become kind of cause one to waver, not to be so resolute. There's so many considerations, but sometime in our devotional life we just have to do things, do what we are told, and then if one has Shraddha in that, if one has firm faith that I know my mind is telling me so many things, but ultimately Krishna is my well-wisher, and here is what he wants me to do, and one does that, Krishna never lets down one faith. Krishna will always help one to see that the positive outcome. And those who have no faith, they aprapyamam nivartante, they don't attain Krishna, and then they return back to the in the cycle of birth and death. That's what he says. Aprapyamam nivartante mriti sansara vartmani. Yeah. So it should be there. That faith should be there, and it's an investment of. It's a kind of a you bet your life. It's a gambling, but it's the gambling that one must do. We said four regulative principles, no gambling. But this is the gambling that we should do, and we should do it again and again and again, because there's no limit. Because spiritual life is all dynamic, and there's no limit to realizing Krishna's wonderful nature, Krishna's wonderful qualities. And but in order to do that, one has to invest his faith in that. And one has to go on in life, different activities in life, in full faith that if I stick to Dharma, that would I will never be in loss, and have firm faith in that point, and realize ultimately that this was true. So one has to do that that kind of that investment of one's faith. It's necessary. Otherwise, if show me first, or it will come, and then I'll consider. No, it doesn't happen like this. Sometimes Krishna might entice us into or trick us into some activity, into surrender to Him, but not always, because Krishna wants us to advance, and Krishna wants us to learn many things and to realize. So sometimes He keeps things sort of, He doesn't reveal everything in every situation, you know, of our life. And then our sole refuge is the instruction of the spiritual master, initiating spiritual master, instructing spiritual master, who could be many. And so we should take full shelter in those manifestations of Krishna, because it's Krishna who manifests as all those persons, and act on their advice, act on their order, and things become clear in time. But that factor should be always maintained, the factor of faith. When that faith is there, things unfold in such a way that our Krishna consciousness deepens, and our commitment to the process of devotional service also deepens in as an effect of that. So we have to surrender all our works to Krishna. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. Fully surrender, giving up completely, and adhyatma chetasa, with full knowledge of the self. And Srila Prabhupada elaborates on that in the commentary, of how a living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. So adhyatma chetasa, always keeping that in mind, my constitutional position is that why I should act like this, because I am an eternal servant. If I act according to my own choice, my own whims, I will not be ultimately happy. And that's what it takes humility to act in such a way. One has to submit. Humility means to understand that I'm unable to guide myself. I have to accept superior guidance. And then adhyatma chetasa. So in commentary, Srila Prabhupada explains it of how in the beginning he explains the position of the living entity. So yes, performing, surrendering all the activities to Krishna, because this is our constitutional position. And then Srila Prabhupada continues and he shifts the focus to the Supreme Lord by saying the Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls. So adhyatma chetasa could also mean with full knowledge of the self, or how is it in translation, actually Prabhupada says with full knowledge of me, so that atma can be can denote both individual self and the supreme self, and both meanings they contribute, can even be combined. Yes, you should surrender all the activities because you are dasa 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 anudasa, and because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, so you should surrender all the activities to Him. He is the center. And nirashir, one should not have desires for profit. That's a hard one, because we always seek some remuneration, but we are discouraged at every step to do that. And external remuneration, in the form of external things. But remuneration comes in automatically, even though it is not desired by devotees. What's that? In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Dasa kore betan more deho prema dhan. Make me a servant and pay me the salary of prema. that's the remuneration. And it's bona fide to aspire for that type of remuneration, because it's authoritative, it comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prema bina mora byartha something something jivan, without prema my life is useless, it's a waste. So dasa kore betan more deha prema, something like that. So therefore please make me a servant and pay me with with prema. so that's the remuneration. But that's the actual thing, and Krishna is pleased to give that, but externally a devotee doesn't want anything, but that comes, and even it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita also that even devotee even doesn't want happiness in exchange. In other words, we say that all living beings, they're moving towards their happiness. That's the impetus behind every activity, every thought, every deed, every action. But that devotee never makes it the thing why he does devotion. So because I want to make myself happy. That's why. Okay, if you want to be happy, serve Vishnu, and then you'll be happy. Okay. Let me serve Vishnu, not because of that. In other words, that expectation of happiness is not the enticement for a devotee. Hmm? But Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that Krishna, by force, he forces that spiritual happiness on his devotee, and that's then. Through Hladini Shakti. But Hladini Shakti, she manifests as devotional service and as pleasure, as happiness of that devotional service. So that's automatically included in devotional service. So even though one might not get external profit from engaging oneself in devotional service, the gain will be much, much more valuable than anything and all the money could buy in this world. That will be the permanent gain of a devotee. And Krishna describes it. That having attained that, one doesn't see anything more than that. Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tataha. It's such a high attainment, samadhi, or total absorption in devotional service. There's nothing higher than that. So nirmama, without ownership, nirmama. Yeah, we might be attached to many things, and in course of life we might have to give them up or renounce them. But we should understand that nothing belongs to us. So therefore, all these feelings of proprietorship are actually, ultimately, they are false. Everything belongs to Krishna. And if something happened to be, if I happen to be taking care of some things in my life, it's just because, you know, Krishna wants me to do that, and Krishna wants me to engage these things in devotional service. And this is my only relationship with those things. They are Krishna's, and they have to be engaged in devotional service. So without ownership, yudhyasva vigata jvaraha, and without being lethargic, is that, externally, some things might happen in course of devotional service, that our life might meet some unfavorable situation, and even sometimes it might be seemingly just caused by devotional service. But Krishna says, Vigata Jvaraha, you just don't be lethargic, you know. You give up all this jvara, all this feverish mentality. Give that up. So it's quite challenging for Arjuna, because he has to give up a lot. He has to kill people who are dear to him, and people whom he doesn't want to kill. And Krishna says, it's all jvara, it's all your feelings for them, your good feelings for them are all fever. Give up that fever and just follow my order. And it's quite it's not an easy thing to do for Arjuna, but that is the attitude that we have to assume in life, in devotional service, full surrender of all the activities, without desire for profit, without sense of ownership, and not bothering much about all the so-called external negativities that might arise in course of time. And like a soldier, described here, like a soldier execute order of the master. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order. So, that is the consciousness that Krishna tries to bring Arjuna to. The same thing is stated in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There is a vyavasayatmika buddhi. One's intelligence has to be resolute. Eka. So that intelligence has to be one-pointed. But in the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. There's so many other considerations. There's so many reasons to do something else. Yeah? But in Krishna consciousness, intelligence has to be vyavasayatmika. One has to be determined. Dishana Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he brings it down to the order of the spiritual master. He says that one has to execute it, as Srila Prabhupada conveyed the essence of that commentary in a very short sentence. One has to accept the order of spiritual master as one's life and soul. But actually, if you look in the original commentary, it's described in detail, actually. What does it mean? So, if I try to remember, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that whether one will be liberated from the material bondage or not, one should still follow the orders of one's spiritual master. Whether by following the order of spiritual master, whether it will bring one happiness or distress, never mind, one should still do that. And he says, other than that order, there's no other duty, there's no other activity to do. And he says, even in my sleep, even in one's sleep, one shouldn't see anything else but fulfilling the order of Guru. So that is Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. And Srila Prabhupada said that he followed the order of his spiritual master. And then in one quote is there, he said, even though sometimes I didn't feel like doing it, Prabhupada said, still I continued. So, you know, it's very instructive. So we might not feel like doing something that we are told to do, but if it is an order, if it is an instruction, it has to be done, despite the vigatajvara. Yeah, we might not feel like doing it, and that's the fever. But still, we have to persevere. We have to continue, and we will never be in loss, yeah, because ultimately Krishna rewards everybody who surrenders to him a lot, and that reward is what has to motivate us to undergo all these troubles that's come time to time in devotional life. At the same time, here we are talking about following, executing the order of the Lord and Adhyatma Chetasa, by being in full knowledge of Him. But the point is that one of the principal limb of devotional service, hearing about Krishna, is through that we expand our knowledge about Krishna. And the more that knowledge about Krishna expands, the more we are actually the more willingly we follow Krishna's instructions. Because Krishna is all attractive. And the more we know about Krishna, about how all attractive he is, and about there's different relationships that he has with his eternal associates, and about the pastimes that he performs with them, the various rasas that he relishes through different leelas, the more and more we hear about it, the more naturally that spirit of spontaneity, spirit of offering our love for Krishna comes up, it arises in our heart. And it all has to come to that point, actually, ultimately, is that why we do things because we like to do them, because one for whom we are doing these things is so attractive, and then Krishna actually manifests personally in one's life. And one actually able to realize that personal, very sweet relationship with Krishna and reciprocations with Him. So, one has to follow this devotional, the process of devotional service nicely, and that includes hearing about Krishna, and everything else is based on that, because ultimately it's devotional service. This is priti purvaka, which is what Krishna is speaking about. Tesham satata yukta nam bhajatam priti purvakam. Priti purvaka means preceded by love. Yeah? In other words, what does it mean preceded by love? Preceded means the love is the foundation of the of activities. So then activities of devotional service become expressions of one's love for the Lord, and love for those who are dear to the Lord also. Yeah? So we have to come to that point we have to always strive to develop that type of consciousness, that spontaneous attraction for pleasing Krishna. Because if we always stay on that level of just doing things because we are told to do that, that is not the ultimate manifestation of bhakti yoga, not at all. Yeah. Bhakti yoga has many more many more higher and more advanced levels and steps that are most of them are based on one's spontaneous attraction toward Krishna. So vidhi is there, rules and regulations are there, but it is a very, like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes, it's like the leaf has two sides. One is very soft in touch, and another one is hard in touch. So he likens the side of the leaf which is hard to vaidhi, and one which is soft to raga. Yeah. So as the time goes, as we go on executing devotional service, we should start discovering in our life that soft side more and more. Yeah. Because devotional service, ultimately, sometimes it might be military discipline, yes, and it has to be there. That is a stage of Krishna consciousness, yes, it has to be there. But the ultimate manifestation of devotional service spontaneous loving spirit. Yeah, Prabhupada mentioned it in one of his letters: individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada said that the Krishna conscious leaders should invoke in other devotees this mood, which is individual, which is spontaneous, which is voluntary, yeah. Which is very, very, very nicely encapsulates that this is what I'm talking about. Yeah. It is individual, it is based on one's nature, because every one of us is a unique person with our own inclinations and abilities and talents and mentalities and ways of doing things, and it all can be engaged in Krishna consciousness very wonderfully. And when everybody follows their nature in Krishna consciousness, everything becomes like a festival. Of course, sometimes we have to do things that are needful, and it's very good to do things like that time to time. It's a good reminder of, okay, because that's the essence of service. That's the ultimate essence of service. You know, a servant is always ready to, you know, do the needful. That's very good. But ultimately, you know, Krishna wants to see everybody doing things individually. Yeah, because what one does individually, one will do that with utmost dedication, you can say, and love and sincerity, yeah? Because it's very natural for that. And spontaneous, individual, spontaneous and voluntary. So things are not, things shouldn't be going under a stick, you know? Under fear, performed under fear, or under, they should be performed voluntary. In other words, and it happens like that when devotees, they are individually engaged in their services. It is powerful, because then you can see a person will open up, and a person will really like to expand his devotional service. Yeah, it will be very, very, very interesting and motivating for every person to be engaged like that. So, ISV, individual, spontaneous, and voluntary, and yeah. So, do you, if you have any questions on this or any comments?